the Islamic Revolution says enemies of Iran have failed to isolate the Islamic Republic despite their efforts. Iranian president says international developments are in favor of the Iranian nation and desire for justice is spreading across the globe. Iran expresses hope for a breakthrough in the upcoming nuclear talks between Tehran and the P5+1 group. Syria asks UN to investigate chemical weapons attack by terrorist groups. Iraqis mark the 10th anniversary of the US-led invasion of the country. And Palestinians protest against Obama's visit to the occupied territories. In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful, hello and welcome. I am Ali Reza Madadi with the latest coming to you live from Tehran. First of all, leader of the Islamic Revolution Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei says enemies of Iran have failed to isolate the Islamic Republic despite their effort to do so. In a message marking the beginning of the Persian New Year, which was designated by the leader as the year of political and economic epic, Ayatollah Khamenei said the enemies were defeated in their attempts to paralyze Iran by imposing economic sanctions in the last Iranian calendar year, which ended on Wednesday. The leader stated that in the political field, they sought on the one hand to isolate the Iranian nation and on the other hand to make the Iranian nation perplexed and doubtful about pursuing its goals and undermine their determination. But in practice, exactly the contrary has occurred. The leader said that in the economic field, the enemies explicitly announced that they intended to cripple the Iranian nation through sanctions. However, they failed to paralyze the Iranian nation, and thanks to God, we have made huge achievements in different sectors. The leader further stated that the enemies also failed to stall Iran's international and regional policies, adding that Iran's hosting of a summit of the Non-Aligned Movement in 2012 proved that the Islamic Republic is not isolated and is respected across the world. Elsewhere, the leader called on people to turn out massively in the forthcoming presidential election in June to determine a good future for their country. The Islamic Republic's 11th presidential election will be held in June, and presidential hopefuls will register from May 7th to May 11th. Now, the Iranian president has issued a message on the occasion of the Persian New Year, stating that the international developments are in favor of the Iranian nation. In a televised address on Wednesday, President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad said public awakening and desire for justice are spreading across the globe as the Iranian nation becomes more dignified day by day. The Iranian president also expressed hope that the Persian New Year will be a happy and prosperous year for the Iranian nation as well as other Persian-speaking people across the world. He also touched on some breakthroughs the Iranian people have made during the last year, such as sending live animals into space, expressing hope that the accelerating trend of construction and development will continue in the new year. He added that the Iranian nation, which has had the lion's share in the creation of civilization and culture in the world, could promote its position and grandeur in the last Iranian year. On the June presidential election, the president said that his administration will do its utmost to hold a healthy election with maximum participation of the Iranian nation. Now, the Iranian ambassador to the United Nations has expressed hope for a breakthrough in the upcoming nuclear talks between Tehran and the P5+1 group. In an interview with Bloomberg, Mohammad Khazai said that the P5+1 group proved more realistic in the February talks in Almaty, Kazakhstan. He also described the Almaty talks as a turning point. The Iranian UN envoy further stated that the Iranian people are proud of the nuclear achievements in the country. Experts from Iran and the P5+1 reviewed proposals put forward by the both sides in their meeting in the Turkish city of Istanbul on Sunday and Monday. Iran's Supreme National Security Council said in a statement that the outcome of the two-day meeting will be presented in the upcoming round of talks between the two sides' chief negotiators in Almaty on April 5th and 6th. Now the Iranian Foreign Ministry has summoned the Swiss envoy to Tehran in protest over the use of chemical weapons by the foreign-backed Syrian militants in the northwestern city of Aleppo, which has left at least 25 people dead. During a meeting in Tehran on Wednesday, the Foreign Ministry's Deputy Director General for Political and International Affairs, Mohsen Naziri, voiced Iran's strong condemnation of the chemical attack in Syria, holding countries supporting Syrian militants accountable for the incident. Naziri said the Islamic Republic of Iran has frequently warned against such crimes and that it strongly urges the US government to prevent chemical weapons from falling in the hands of Syrian rebels. The senior Iranian diplomat also stressed the need for an impartial probe into the use of chemical weapons in the attack near Aleppo. The Swiss envoy, for his part, assured the Iranian official that Iran's message would be conveyed to Washington as soon as possible and that a response would be relayed back to the Iranian Foreign Ministry. Syria has also asked the United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon to launch an independent investigation into chemical weapons attack by terrorist groups near the northern city of Aleppo.
Government has requested a few minutes ago the Secretary General of the United Nations to form a specialized, independent, and neutral technical mission to investigate the use by the terrorist groups operating in Syria of chemical weapons yesterday against civilians in the town of Khan al-Asal in Aleppo. The Syrian government, as you may recall, had sent an early notification about this kind of threat in an official letter to both the Secretary General and the President of the Security Council on December the 8th, 2012, warning against the possibility of using chemical weapons and chemical materials by the terrorist groups in Syria, within the Syrian territory, and then trying to accuse the Syrian government of using these chemical materials in order to deviate the attention from the real facts on the ground, which is that the Syrian government, if it has such weapons, will never use it against its own population.
And before we continue, here's a recap of our top stories. Leader of the Islamic Revolution says enemies of Iran have failed to isolate the Islamic Republic despite their efforts. Iranian president says international developments are in favor of the Iranian nation and desire for justice is spreading across the globe. Iran expresses hope for a breakthrough in the upcoming nuclear talks between Tehran and the P5+1 group. Syria asks UN to investigate chemical weapons attack by terrorist groups. Iraq is marked the 10th anniversary of the US-led invasion. And Palestinians protest against Obama's visit to the occupied territories. Iraq is marking the 10th anniversary of the US-led invasion as the country grapples with escalating violence. The Wednesday commemoration comes a day after a spate of deadly bombings and gun attacks left over 60 people dead in the country. On March 19, 2003, US-led forces invaded Iraq under the pretext of wiping out the stock of weapons of mass destruction belonging to the executed Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein's regime. However, no such weapons were ever discovered in the country. Hundreds of thousands of people were killed and Iraq's infrastructure was destroyed following the US-led invasion and subsequent occupation of the country. Also on Wednesday, two people were killed and four others wounded in a car bomb explosion in the Iraqi capital, Baghdad. No group has so far claimed responsibility for the bombing.
The United States is responsible for the shortcoming because it has left a heavy legacy. It has laid the foundations of a divided Iraq. It was also the real instigator of the helpful sectarian power sharing. It also helped many to steal Iraq's money. The scene today is a sealed way, especially with threats of civil war and current demonstrations in the western area. Moreover, there are some parties that are regrouping militia or Al-Qaeda, let alone the tension between Baghdad and the other regions. I think if things remain as they are now, the future will be dark, a future that no one wants. We all hoped for a better Iraq.
Moving on, Palestinian lawyers have taken legal action against U.S. President Barack Obama upon his arrival in the occupied territories as part of his Middle East tour. The lawsuit is in connection with the death of a Palestinian journalist who was killed during the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq 10 years ago. On Wednesday, Obama arrived in Tel Aviv as protests against his visit escalated in the occupied West Bank. Palestinian demonstrators had held protest rallies against Obama's visit to the occupied West Bank, saying Obama is not doing enough to stop the Zionist regime settlement activities and the arbitrary arrest of Palestinians by Zionist troops. The protest rallies took place in the West Bank city of Al-Khalil as well as the city of Gaza, where protesters chanted anti-Obama slogans.
The U.S. president does not carry any proposal for a settlement. I don't think he is welcomed by anybody in the region. I think that his visit would only complicate things more because it would add a negative element to an already very turbulent political scene. And this negative element is a U.S. That does not care about the most important issue in the region, which is the Palestinian issue.
Elsewhere in the Middle East, Saudis have staged another anti-regime demonstration in the city of Bourdia, calling for the immediate release of political prisoners. The demonstrators once again defied a protest ban imposed by the Al Saud regime and took to the streets in the central city on Wednesday to demand the release of a group of women and other prisoners arrested during a recent rally. On March 1st, Saudi security forces arrested over 300 protesters, including 15 women, after hundreds of people gathered outside the Investigation and Prosecution Bureau in the city to demand the release of political prisoners. The kingdom, hit by anti-regime protests, has intensified its campaign of terror and crackdown against dissidents. According to Human Rights Watch, the Saudi regime routinely represses expression critical of the government. Now, tens of thousands of people have taken to the streets of Athens in a new nationwide strike against austerity measures. Angry over wage cuts and tax rises, the crowd marched to Parliament in the biggest protest for months over belt-tightening demands required by international lenders. Our correspondent from the city has the scoop.
According to a last-minute announcement, employees at all social security funds decided to walk off their jobs on Wednesday and will further remain on strike through Thursday. In this context, they took to the streets and, joined by public sector employees affiliated with the Ministry of Labor, they protested plans by the Labor Ministry to amend the law regulating disciplinary action in the public sector, imposing harsher penalties on employees found in breach of regulations or the code of ethics of the public sector. The new protest comes as the coalition government is set to discuss ways to streamline the organization and the processes in the civil service in order to meet targets set by the country's creditors comprised of the EU, the ECB and the IMF, who have asked 150,000 employees to get fired by 2015. According to sources within the ministry, civil service employees who have been found to be in breach of duty by special disciplinary councils will be the very first to get fired under the new scheme. Despite the harsh economic crisis, the disciplinary firings are not an obligation under the Memorandum of Understanding signed with the Troika, but a logical step toward transparency. For this reason, they're expected to take effect rapidly despite the taboo of layoffs in the public sector. Yet, the Greek economy is still suffering, and oftentimes the public sector is blamed as an scapegoat for all its woes. In the meanwhile, in Cyprus, the plan to tax deposits has been described by many analysts abroad, but also in Greece, as a dreadful mistake. Many sources have not hesitated to describe it as a legalized bank robbery, part of a bigger $10 billion bailout agreed with the Eurozone. While this plan A has already been rejected by the Cypriot Parliament, new alternative means are being examined to recapitalize Cypriot banks still closed in Greece, among them investing in the property of the church or gas-related alternatives involving Russian investors with fresh capital. While the Cypriot government just rejected the plan of the Troika to impose a levy tax on deposits in Cypriot bank accounts, back home in Greece and Athens, demonstrations are continuing on the day.